Welcome to the Goal Lines Podcast, your Mid-Missouri football guide. If you don't already subscribe, find us on Apple Podcasts and Google Play.
Welcome to this week's installment of the News Tribune Football Podcast featuring the Missouri Tigers. I'm your host, Tony Hawley, sitting here with Kyle McArabey of the News Tribune, and I think the words unbridled optimism might be never more appropriate than kind of where we're at this week from the standpoint of we're, you know, five games into the season, Missouri still has not lost at this point.
We've got another Good Vibes Mizzou podcast. this has been fun to watch so far.
We can always find something to complain about, I'm sure, but at this point it's getting harder and harder each week to get to that point. And I, you know, again, it's not like we're going to go, oh, hey, last week's 38-21 win against Vandy is going to make us, you know, just ecstatic. It was what we wanted to see happen, and it did. But that's better than sometimes we've gotten from this team where we're like, we expect them to do one thing and then they zag. You know, this time they did what we thought they were going to do.
I was almost very excited because I picked Mizzou to win 38-24. I thought I remembered that I picked it correctly, yeah. And I checked earlier. And,
so close.
Ah, dang it. I was not going to come on and play the recording of last week's podcast like someone else one of our other football podcasts might. But I was so excited. But yeah, it was about what we expected, right?
Right. And I think the thing about it is it's just kind of refreshing when you go, the wins are, you know, when you expect them to play out a certain way and they do, that's what gets frustrating when things don't go the way that you think they can, because you kind of go, okay, this is the team that, you know, we were kind of maybe hoping to see. So I guess the biggest point is the offense looks great once again.
Yeah.
So it's just got to become at a certain point, do you ask, is this simply just a function of they were just laying in the weeds for those first couple games and just literally saying, we're not going to do anything but the very bare minimum, no matter how hard we're pushed, no matter how close the game is, no matter how much it looks in doubt, we're not going to do anything special. We'll save that for later on down the road, because they've looked like a night and day team from those first couple games of the year.
It seems pretty clear that that's what it was.
Right.
They knew they could run bare minimum offense those first two games and win.
Right.
And just keep preparing to break something fun out week three.
Yeah.
And that something fun's been working.
Yeah.
I mean, it is, like you're saying, it's vastly different than what we saw at the beginning of the season, and it works.
Right.
It is. They're getting big chunk plays all the time. The passing game looks fantastic. Brady looks fantastic. Set another career high this week. Almost hit 400 yards for the first time. He now has 300 in the past three games.
Right.
After never doing that before.
Right.
You know? I mean, Luther, I think, has four straight games over 100 yards.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, it's, the offense looks great.
Right.
It works. It hasn't faced, you know, the absolute toughest defense it's going to face yet.
Sure.
That's still to come, but Kansas State isn't a slouch win.
Correct.
Memphis isn't a slouch win.
Right.
And Vandy's still in SEC game.
Right. And I think the thing that kind of, I think is starting to kind of maybe, when, like I mentioned before, when you think you know what somebody is, you want them to be that kind of all the time, where you go, okay, this Mizzou offense can be this. You know, this quarterback can be this. Luther Burden can be this. And I think I still have a little bit of I want to see it once we get into the guts of the SEC schedule this year. But I do feel like, as somebody who's kind of been a wait and see on Luther kind of guy from my own standpoint, he's starting to show me that he is the guy that maybe everybody thought when he first signed that he could be. Again, he still is going to have to do it week after week after week in the SEC once we get into the real teeth of the schedule. But I do feel like that all of a sudden it's gone from he's a guy who shows you flashes to he's a guy that shows you consistent flashes. So good on him.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he's leading the SEC in yards right now at 644. And you're mentioning the teeth of the schedule. That starts this week.
Right.
I mean, you've got a run coming up of LSU, Kentucky, South Carolina, Georgia, Tennessee.
Right.
That's the stretch.
Yeah.
Where, like, if I'm not saying if the undefeated season continues. Obviously, then we're having a very different conversation.
Yeah.
But I'm saying if the offense continues to look like it has
these
past few weeks,
yeah,
and it does that against that level of competition these next five weeks, We're talking about one of the best offenses in the country.
Yeah, and as it stands, you know, you mentioned Brady Cook. He's now sitting at 348 passes and counting, where he hasn't thrown an interception. It's an SEC record. If we're still talking that we've got a couple more games after this stretch where he still hasn't thrown an interception, then I'll really be gobsmacked, because I just feel like one's coming. I don't know when it's coming, and I hope it's not coming, but I will also be very surprised if he gets through those games you just rattled off without there being a pick somewhere in there.
So I told you right before we started recording, I've been cooking up a take.
Okay.
Give me your take. Here's the take. Brady has 1,468 yards, just about at 500. He has another game at 300. We're looking at 1,800 yards. He's at 11 touchdowns right now, zero interceptions. The top five Heisman favorites.
Okay.
Caleb Williams, same number of completions, same number of attempts. So same percentage completion-wise. A little under 150 more yards, 10 more touchdowns and an interception. So the touchdown's very different there. Michael Penix, way ahead in yards, five more touchdowns, a couple of interceptions.
Okay.
Quinn Ewers at Texas, fewer completions on more attempts with fewer yards, fewer touchdowns, and an interception.
Okay.
Bo Nix at Oregon, more completions, more attempts, 10 fewer yards, a couple more touchdowns, and interception. And Jordan Travis at FSU, at Florida State, fewer completions, fewer attempts, far fewer yards, one fewer touchdown, and an interception. That puts Brady about third in those stat categories.
Right.
If you're lining up all of them.
Right.
I mean, he's not even like top 10 in odds for Heisman right now. But if you're going into this stretch of the season and he can continue what he's doing through another couple of games.
Sure.
I think we're going to start getting some real Brady Cook Heisman talk.
Yeah.
I mean, if he can do that this week against LSU, I think he starts getting mentioned.
Sure.
And then if he does it continually against Kentucky and South Carolina, and if he has a good game against Georgia, then we're really talking about looking at a serious Heisman candidate.
Yeah. And this is the game that I think, like you said, it starts it all. So 11 o'clock today, ESPN. It's kind of one of those interesting games where you look at, there's a 21 next to Missouri and they're 5-0, and there's a 23 next to LSU and they're only 3-2. Kind of a little interesting little wrinkle there, but I do think it's again, it's a legitimate team. It's one of those measuring stick games where you go, we're going to know after this game, you know, exactly what Missouri is, because again, you take it and you look at those two losses that they do have, you know,
Florida State to open the season
and Ole Miss last week, and I think Ole Miss might be sneaky good, that I think they're going to come up and bite somebody at some point where they're not a bad loss for LSU last week, and again, it was, you know, it's 55-49, so it's
absolute shootout. That was,
you know,
crazy,
a play here, a play there, that might not have also been a loss. So but again, I do feel like it's very exciting that this is, you know, the game that we've got this week.
Well, I think what you're looking at with LSU is one of the best offenses in the country.
Okay.
You know, I know it's been talked about, I think numbers-wise, they're around where that 2019 LSU team was through five games. You know, and that LSU team was one of the best college offenses we've ever seen.
Right.
Right. So, I mean, it helps when you have Jaden Daniels at quarterback, leading the SEC in yards right now. He was, I think, sixth on the Heisman, you know, Vegas odds.
Okay.
So I didn't throw his stats in that conversation. I do have some of them. He is the sixth FBS player ever to have 10,000 passing yards and 2,000 rushing yards.
Wow.
I mean, he's a fantastic player. This is his second year running LSU's offense, and he's just been incredible. He's at probably going to pass 2,000 passing yards this week. He's at 1,710. He's got 16 touchdowns to lead the SEC. Like, he is statistically the best quarterback in the SEC right now. And he's throwing to Malik Nabers, who's number two in the SEC in yards, and Brian Thomas, who's number four. So, I mean, that offense moves.
Right.
And the thing is, Mizzou's going to have to keep up. Because, I mean, Missouri's defense, what we saw last year is not what we've seen so far this year. They're doing what they need to do to win, but they're not shutting teams down the way they were last year.
Right.
And with this offense, you're not going to shut them down for the whole game.
Right.
The best defense in the country wouldn't shut this offense down for the whole game.
Sure. So I guess the biggest question is how capable are that? I mean, as much as we've seen, and we've seen them kind of go up a notch the last couple of weeks, can they go up another notch? Because this, I think, is going to be something where even if you said take the best game they've played on offense this year, there have been hiccups kind of in each one of them where you're going to be like, okay, there's a spell here. There might have been a quarter here of that game that wasn't great. This is going to have to be a whole nother different level to keep up with this team.
Yeah, I mean, I think we probably saw the best offensive game last week.
Right.
And, you know, we've had lulls kind of here and there. The third quarter has been a bit of a lull, like we've talked about, but that's also come with injuries to Brady that kind of restricted the playbook a little bit. I think if you see a fully healthy Missouri offense throughout the whole game and there's no kind of restrictive moments like that,
sure,
that you're going to see that next step.
Right.
Especially, I mean, we talked about LSU with that major shootout last week. I'm not sure that's entirely representative of their defense, but they've given up a lot of points this year.
Yeah.
So I would expect a very offensive game, back and forth, and just kind of the ball moving up and down the field fast.
Yeah. So I guess then it becomes, how much do you think maybe the crowd can make their presence mm-hmm. known and it's, be a lift that you might need in a game like this where if you do get an opportunistic stop at some moment, then hopefully, you know, the crowd can get into it, help you energize maybe the defense when they need a stop. Because again, we've talked about it a couple times, and I still don't think it's something they've managed to even attempt to solve yet. Third and fourth down conversions have not been great for Missouri this year. They're still giving up way too many conversions for the opponents. And I got to feel like this might be one of those games where all of a sudden you get an energized, just bonkers crowd that's into it. All of a sudden, that might be the thing you need on a third down play, you know, that might be pivotal.
So the third downs were a little bit better last week. Still not great.
Sure.
But yeah, this game's been sold out for a couple weeks mm-hmm. now. Like, this has been the expected, like, show what Vero Field can be
right.
game for the first time in a while. And I know Coach Drinkwitz has been kind of pushing that in press conferences and stuff. He said we need fans there early.
Right.
Because even, you know, when it was sold out against Kansas State, you look 10 minutes before the game, there were a lot of open seats, people still filing in the first quarter. I've heard rumors on Twitter, so, you know, grain of salt.
Right.
But that there's something going on inside the stadium at 10:30
okay.
To try to entice people to get in there early okay. and have it, you know, ready and energetic from the opening kick.
Okay.
Because Missouri's going to need to start fast.
Right.
On whichever side of the ball they're starting on, they need to start fast.
That's the other thing, I think, is how much of this is just the pressure of, okay, you almost feel that pressure to keep up and match score for score. And again, I think the offense is different than it was, you know, 5 weeks ago, but it's also like, I don't know that we've maybe had a game of this magnitude where you go, you're going to have to probably score maybe each time you score, you touch it. It's not going to necessarily have to be seven, but it's going to have to be sevens and threes and more sevens than threes.
Sure.
But you're going to have to get probably something each time.
Yeah. I mean, we kind of saw a bit of that with Kansas State,
right?
You know, where it was like, all right, you score to tie or maybe take a short lead, and then Kansas State goes right back, takes the lead back, right? You worked out of a deficit three or four times in that game. And then kind of similar with Memphis, you were on the reverse side, so you go up two scores, they cut it to one, you go up two again, they cut it to one. You know, kind of you have to keep the ball rolling.
Right.
And yeah, it's absolutely going to be a case. If there are more than a couple of drives that end without points, you're looking at trouble.
Yeah. So again, I don't think it can be understated that we're going to have to see a better Missouri defense than we've seen. What do you think it is that, I mean, obviously you're worried about their quarterback, you're worried about their receivers. Is there one thing that maybe if they raise this particular area of play a little bit better, then all of a sudden it gets them to the where this is a much more winnable game? Is it a better pass rush? Is it better, you know, third down defense? Is it better edge contain? Is it better play by the D-backs? You know, what is there one thing that you can go, okay, if just this area gets better, then maybe it's better than what we've seen the last couple weeks?
I am somebody who always I always think a better pass rush sets everything else
sure.
up better, right?
Right?
If you can make the quarterback hurry more, then that means your defensive backs don't have to cover quite as long. It's going to force bad throws that they're going to have an easier time either batting down or intercepting. It's going to set everything up better if you have a better pass rush. edge contain has been the major issue in previous games. So an addition to that side of play, you know, makes a big difference. I think the defensive backs, you know, there was some injury concerns the last couple of weeks in the defensive backfield, but Chris Abrams-Drain has an interception in each of the past three games. Right. I mean, if they're able to force a couple of turnovers, you know, an interception or two,
sure,
that could be the difference in the game,
yeah,
right? Because that's, like we're just talking about, a drive that doesn't end in points.
Right.
So if you're able to force a turnover or two, if you're able to win the turnover battle, that's probably where the difference in this game comes, yeah, from.
Thank you for bringing up injuries, because that segues nicely into the next thing I was going to ask you. And, you know, how are the Tigers looking on the injury front this week?
Better than last week.
Okay.
We had the whole, you know, 18 minutes of me just reading off injuries last week.
Right.
The only thing that I am for sure of right now, as we're recording before the official injury report comes out, is Darius Robinson is still questionable, which does affect the pass rush.
Right.
So there you go. You know, that's been kind of a lingering hamstring thing. Like we talked about last week, it took him out of a couple of games.
Yeah.
Didn't play last week. I don't really know what the prognosis is for whether or not we should expect him this week. And if we do, it might still be kind of limited.
Yeah.
So that does, like I said, does really affect the pass rush. He's been very good when he's been on the field, but, you know, you got to find that production elsewhere if he's not able to go for the full time.
Yeah. All right, I guess that gets us to the prediction point of the podcast. And as you mentioned in the Capital City Cavaliers podcast, you had the picks in the newspaper this week. You remembered what your score was for that one. Do you remember what your score was that you picked for the Missouri game?
I was sure to put them in my notes.
good job.
Yeah.
Well done.
So I think this is going to be the highest scoring game we've seen Missouri play in a while.
Okay.
But I feel pretty good about the Tiger, about okay, the Missouri Tigers.
I was going to say, be specific.
The Tigers. So I'm going to say Missouri wins 41-33.
All right. That should do it for this week. For Kyle McArabia, I'm Tony Hawley saying thanks for listening.
For more information about this week's game, visit newstribune.com and get game updates and more college sports content all week by following Kyle McArabia on Twitter at Kyle_McArabia. That's McAreavy. Thanks for listening.